That's Megan Lynch. I'm Tom Ackerman. It's 9:06 on Total Information AM. Donald Trump and Kamala Harris faced each other on the debate stage last night in Philadelphia. Returning today, John Shaw, director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. Well, predictably, John, they both thought they won the debate. So, let's discuss, who do you think got the upper hand here?
I don't think there's really any question that Harris trounced him pretty decisively. She was in total command, was very, very shrewd in rattling him. I think from literally the first seconds when she walked up to him and shook his hand, it seemed to me Trump was on his heels the whole night. She was shrewd and hit some of the sensitive buttons that had him spew forth a lot of his stream of consciousness rambling. So, it would be hard to even imagine the most ardent GOP spinmeister saying that Donald Trump had a good night. I mean, he looked frustrated. He looked angry. He looked befuddled. I think Harris just dominated him. I think, and I'm just reading accounts. I mean, the word that keeps coming up is that she humiliated him. And that might overstate it a little bit, but I think she won decisively.
Talk about the fact-checking that happened during the debate last night. I mean, in my mind, as I was watching it, like, I was scrolling through, the encyclopedia in my mind of, are these facts correct? And even the moderators were having to correct things.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, Megan, I was underwhelmed by the moderators. I know others have a different perspective. First of all, I think they allowed Trump to just violate the rules repeatedly. I read that he ended up speaking 5 more minutes than she did, and that he spoke, this is the number I recall, 39 times, and she spoke 22. So there was some attempt at fact-checking. I thought they could have done it more forcefully. And I think they should have turned off his microphone. They allowed him to just keep rambling and to just, effectively violate the rules. It was, to me, kind of shocking how I think passive the moderators are. I know they've gotten some plaudits from people, but I sure didn't see it. I thought they were, marginally more effective than some I've seen, but I still did not think that they really lived up to their responsibility, which even if you can't fact check, just make sure the rules are enforced and don't allow, when Trump's time is over with, cut him off, turn off the microphone. But they kept letting him get back in a way that I thought was unfair.
I did think, though, that they returned sometimes to the question. So if they, especially in Trump's case, if he strayed from the actual yes or no question, they would come back to that. Do you think that the candidates stayed on point? Did Kamala Harris do that more than Donald Trump did?
Yeah, I mean, but both of them, to be fair, anyone who's gets past high school debate, when you're in a debate and a question is thrown at you that you're uncomfortable with, you find some piece of the question that you feel comfortable responding to and doing so. And there were certainly some examples where Harris, did not fully confront the question. I mean, there was one question about her flip-flops or changes on various issues. And, she talked a little bit about fracking, but really didn't take it on. So I thought both of them, anyone who's been in a debate at that level, finds ways to answer the questions that they want to answer and not answer questions, that they don't. Well, I want to throw one thing out. I'd love your opinion. The one thing that surprised me about Harris is I thought she could have defended the Biden record and Biden more than she did. And I get that her whole strategy, which was a very successful strategy, was to talk about the future and not to relitigate the past. That was her central strategy. She did it really, really well. But I do think as Trump was just pounding away at Biden and the Biden-Harris record, she could have just thrown a few facts about, the infrastructure bill and just job growth in the two administrations. And again, I know the polling shows that Americans think the economy was better under Trump than Biden, even if that's not factually true. And she probably didn't want to get down that rat hole. And I think even with Biden, if she would have had just some kind of derisive comment saying, Mr. Trump, you're not qualified to carry Joe Biden's golf clubs or something like that to make light of his just repeated attacks on Biden, which I thought were ungracious and unprofessional and gratuitous.
I didn't think there was an answer to the inflation question and the economy during the Biden administration.
Yeah, but the real answer is one that the administration has almost nothing to do with inflation. I mean, that's a monetary policy. That is the Federal Reserve policy. But again, I mean, it's life politics 101 that, you know, the administration is responsible for the economy. So there's very little the Biden administration did to fuel inflation, but it's happened on their watch, so they are politically vulnerable. And I don't know there's much she can say other than it's come down dramatically once the kind of dislocations caused by COVID have kind of unwound. So this was not a forum to have a detailed discussion on monetary policy and what forces fuel inflation. So I thought she kind of sidestepped the question, realizing that, you know, it was just maybe too complicated to go through in this debate.
John, I did think that the format was bad for Trump from the very start. I mean, in sports terms, this was a home court advantage for Kamala Harris. She is a prosecutor. She does it for a living. And she was ready to go. She was prepared, and this was a bad situation for him, I felt, from the start. Did you feel that way? And for that reason, I don't think there will be another debate. I don't know that Donald Trump's side wants to go through that again.
Let's say two things. First of all, I mean, you know, Trump's whole thing is mocking Harris and then Hillary Clinton, you know, in 2016 for preparing for debates. And, you know, most since 1960, when presidential debates, the modern debates began, you know, every candidate except Donald Trump has done professional preparation. I mean, they've studied the issues. They practice their lines of argument and defense. Trump is the only one who doesn't prepare in a professional way. And he sort of is gleeful about it. So, no, he wasn't prepared. He was not prepared in any substantive way. You know, in terms of what happens next in the debates, I mean, I think I even said with you guys yesterday, I didn't think there'd be another debate. I think Trump has to have one. I mean, I think the race, you know, they're not going to be a huge shift in the polls, but I think Harris won over some Republicans last night, and possibly Republicans in really critical states. And I think the Trump people have to realize that the race edged pretty sharply against them last night, and they need to do something different. And so I think Trump will at least call for debates and at least kind of position Harris. So if there isn't one, he could blame her for, quote, chickening out. But I predict that Trump will want another debate because, you know, the impression he left last night is not the one that he wants lingering in the American mind, because it's not one that's probably going to get him elected.
We talked about this yesterday, John, about who would come across as presidential and whether people would see Kamala Harris as presidential after last night. What are your thoughts?
I think she aced the test. I think she looked calm, mature, intelligent, whimsical, fun. And I think she got under his skin. I mean, he seemed palpably rattled. Petulant. I mean, then when he goes on these, you know, harangues about, you know, eating dogs and cats, I mean, that's the opposite of presidential. It's the sort of thing that you would cringe if your, you know, your local city council person, you know, went down that path. And to hear someone who's, you know, wants to be, you know, the leader of the free world and actually be control of the nuclear code. I mean, I think Trump's just almost palpable lack of stability and mental coherence. You know, at least someone has to think, do I really want my kids and grandkids live for the next 4 years with this guy, you know, holding the nuclear code? I don't think so.
Just for a fascinating thought, would there be any interest in vice presidents debating each other?
I think so. I wouldn't be surprised if that, I kind of expect that to happen. I think that would be an interesting bat, you know, because, you know, you have Vance, this very kind of intense, somewhat petulant guy versus, you know, Tim Walz, the kind of every dad, you know, everyone's dad type of guy. So I think the optics would be fun to watch. And I wouldn't be surprised if they have that debate. I think that would be one that I know I would look forward to watching.
Well, John, thank you for coming back with us this morning. We appreciate it.
It's always fun. Thank you so much.
That is John Shaw, director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at SIU Carbondale, joining us on KMOX.
You're listening to Total Information AM. It's 9:15.